Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Trillion with a T.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. How much is $1 trillion? Well, it's more than NASA has ever spent. With $1 trillion, you could buy almost a year's worth of oil for the U.S. or buy the world a Coke about 150 times. $1 trillion is also the total financial loss so far in the mortgage and credit meltdown. That's in a report this morning from the International Monetary Fund. The IMF wasn't too optimistic about the future either. It said the credit problems could spread, causing more losses and a global economic slowdown. Some downer profit reports from Alcoa and AMD are adding to Wall Street's malaise. The Dow has dropped 61 points so far to 12,550. The Nasdaq's down 17. The S&P 500 has dropped 7. In Asia today, stocks finished 1% lower. European shares are also down 1%. How much is your identity worth? I'm not being philosophical here. I'm talking about your financial identity. The answer is not much, according to a new report from the internet security company Symantec. It says a person's full identity profile can be purchased online for as little as a dollar. Dan Gretsch has more.
For the good old days, when there was real money to be made in petty theft. Nowadays, the internet equivalent of a purse snatching won't buy you a cup of coffee. Symantec reports stolen credit card information sold for as low as 40 cents. How about your full bank account credentials? 10 bucks. Pretty scary, huh?
It is really scary.
That's technology editor Natalie Del Conte with CNET. She says a particular problem is phishing. That's when the bad guys send you a fake email.
So it'll look a lot like your cell phone bill, your bank account, or your mortgage account. So you give them your password, and then whoever it is that's running that site now has all of your financial information because you've just voluntarily given it to them.
Symantec says malicious attacks increased fivefold last year, which explains the bargain basement prices. Of course, Symantec has a vested interest in scaring you. It sells cybersecurity software, and unfortunately, it's not nearly as cheap. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
It appears our distressed housing market has sailed across the ocean. Today, Britain's biggest mortgage lender said home prices fell 2.5% in March. That's the biggest monthly drop since 1992. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us. Stephen, what's behind this?
A number of factors, but the most important one, without any doubt, is the credit crunch. I mean, mortgages are getting harder and harder to come by. The number of mortgage products available on the market has more than halved this year. You can't get a 100% mortgage in this country anymore. In most cases, buyers have got to come up with a 10% deposit, and that clearly is having an impact on house prices. The loss of that demand is undermining house prices here.
What about the economy overall? I mean, we've had such a concern about the housing market doing in our economy. What about in Britain?
Few economists are forecasting an outright recession here. However, housing has been a more important component of the boom in the UK than in the US over the past decade. If the credit crunch persists, the economic repercussions could be very severe indeed.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Scott.
Brazil imports millions of condoms each year for its AIDS program, but it would rather not have to buy them. So the country has opened a new factory in the Amazon to make rubbers from the rubber trees there. Brazil says the revenue will help preserve the rainforest as well. So I guess buy a condom, save the rainforest. Bumper stickers are inevitable. This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, April 8th on Marketplace.org. Today, the Energy Department will give us its forecast for summer gas prices. Before you wince, demand is expected to be lower. But prices are still going to average, now you can wince, $3.60 a gallon. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
If you want to know why gas prices soar every summer, just look in the mirror. Planning to drive to the beach this year? While you're idling in traffic, you're increasing consumer demand. That could drive gas prices up to $4 a gallon this summer in much of the country. There's another reason you're paying more for gas: high oil prices. Blame traders for that. Energy trader and analyst Stephen Shork says everybody's crowding into oil as the dollar falls.
So now we're kind of on this perverted hamster wheel right now, where people equate the weak dollar with high oil prices.
Analyst Aaron Brady of Cambridge Energy Research Associates says OPEC can't help because only low-grade crude is available.
Not too many refineries in the world right now have spare capacity to absorb that kind of lower quality crude oil.
Some refineries have also cut back on gasoline production because of low profit margins. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
With the Summer Olympics just a few months away, China is feeling the heat over its policies toward Tibet and human rights overall. The protests are so intense on the Olympic torch run, they keep having to extinguish the flame. So what is China doing? Hiring a PR firm, of course. Here's Bill Marcus.
PR experts say the new international image China wants will cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's a massive, massive damage control and crisis type of PR.
That's Shanghai PR man Michael Golden.
It's not a black and white situation where, you know, I think China's the bad guy and Tibet's the good guy, but China's let the world basically paint that picture.
Western PR experts say China never much cared what foreign audiences thought. China is seeking advice from Western communications experts, hoping they will help shape its international image. International relations professor Sun Zhe.
I think the key to emphasize is how to communicate with Western media, because certainly you see New York Times, you see CNN, we have some problem in communicating with this media.
Observers say the Olympic protests are embarrassing the Chinese people, and the government feels pressure to defend itself. China has not yet announced which PR firm will get the contract. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
Summer vacation is coming up, and I have an unusual suggestion for you. Namibia. You'll have to fly quite a ways to get there. It's in Southwest Africa. But from what I hear, the beaches are lovely and the desert unspoiled. Back in the 80s, there was a guerrilla war, but Namibia is stable now and has good roads. The locals call it Africa for beginners. Gretchen Wilson went to the capital, Windhoek, for a lesson.
Signs of a changing Namibia start here on Fidel Castro Street, so named after 1990, when a Marxist liberation movement secured independence from apartheid South Africa. Now it's the building site of one of many new five-star hotels. A Marxist political party is still in power up the road, but in this small city, the upper crust can find caviar, sushi, and cachet.
Namibia is not the place that everybody and their mama has been to, and that's the truth.
Jackie Asheke is CEO of the Federation of Namibian Tourism Associations.
It's the ooh, ah factor here. Namibia jumps out as something that you want to go back to the office and say, guess where we went for holiday? Namibia. And people go, where's that? That's what they want.
The New York Times recently called Namibia one of the top places to go in 2008. And tourism from the U.S. has soared more than 250% in just over 5 years. One draw? The space. Namibia's bigger than Texas, but with only one-tenth the population.
This is a country where nobody's going to hound you. The paparazzi can't even make it to your dune.
Namibia's desert dunes stretch right to the Atlantic Ocean. And that may have been a draw for one famous couple.
My producers spend a lot of time on the gym equipment in here.
Fernando Garces runs the Burning Shore Hotel.
Angelina Jolie just stayed on the corner here, which overlooked the beach, Long Beach.
2 years ago, they came here to give birth to their daughter. For some, that one event put Namibia on the map. Graham Howard is the regional director for Patea Hotels.
It's advertising you can't buy. I mean, we were just overnight a country that was suddenly recognizable.
It's helped bring big business to small enterprises. Niels Dreyer started his ocean safaris a few years ago. Today, he takes 60 people a day onto the Atlantic to spot dolphins, seals, and pelicans.
We're seeing a lot more Americans here. It's really expanding.
So, who knows? Maybe next year's spring break in Namibia? In Walvis Bay, Namibia, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Time to continue our series, Housing Madness. Since 2005, the mortgage industry has shed 125,000 jobs. And not just at big firms. Many small brokerages have collapsed altogether. From WCPN in Cleveland, Mari Saito has our story.
Mark Fabick opened Parker Mortgage in Rocky River, Ohio, with his wife in 2000. Three people worked there part-time, and his mom did the books.
We had a five-year goal to start a business, you know, before my 40th birthday, and 9 days beforehand, we got the opportunity and really been able to live our dream of the last 8 years.
Fabick was a mortgage broker, a middleman who helps a borrower shop among lenders for the best loan. At its peak, Fabick's company made about 80 loans a year, about 20% of them subprime. Then the real estate market fell apart.
Even though we can help people still because we did the good loans and everything, with all the bad publicity out there, I think people just sort of felt that, you know, if there was a choice between dealing with us or a bank, they were going to a bank right now.
So on January 31st, Fabick closed his doors and went to a local bank as a loan officer. Sam Garcia of Mortgage Daily says it's hard to find national numbers on how mortgage brokers are doing, but what he hears is bad.
There's hardly any business out there, and the ones that are left are having to compete with the existing lenders.
In Ohio, the number of licensed mortgage broker companies dropped 30% this year, and 2,000 Ohio loan officers have put their licenses on hold, twice as many as 6 months ago. Dwayne Dawson is trying to ride out the slump with his Northeast Ohio mortgage company, but he says the numbers of deals he's cutting are dropping fast.
Percentage-wise, my numbers have decreased by maybe as much as 75-80%. I have to do a lot more cold calling. I'm concentrating on commercial transactions as well.
But if the real estate industry continues to drag, Dawson's going to find a new job. Fabick got his in 2 weeks. He said he believes one door closed, but another was meant to open.
It really helped ease the idea of closing. I mean, it still hurts when you close down your own business because I poured my heart out into it and spent, you know, the last 8 years just giving everything to it.
In Cleveland, I'm Mari Saito for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.